This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the station that you have to listen to when it comes to car reviews and car news. This is Cruise Control, and I'm Daniel Sherman Fernandez from DSF.my, and I'm here with Mr. Arev Roos.
Hello, Daniel.
And unfortunately, our third party, Mr. Richard Bradbury, is busy doing something else. We won't ask why. So, as usual, the show comes in two parts. We have local news, some global news, and then we'll have a car review. So, Arev.
Today's story actually comes a lot from your website.
Really?
Yes.
Luckily, I'm here.
The first of which is there was an article that said there's no more SKD assembly for cars in Malaysia.
Yes.
But what is exactly an SKD?
First of all, let's explain a bit. CBU means completely built up. Yeah. That means fully imported. If the car is made in Japan, it gets on a ship, it's driven on a ship, and then it arrives in Malaysia, it's put on a truck, and it's sent to a showroom, and it's sold to you.
Yeah.
Then you have CKD, completely knocked down. Completely knocked down means the car is actually put into a container in parts, and some of the parts will be missing, of course.
Yeah.
And then the containers are shipped to Malaysia. And then there's a factory in Malaysia that puts it together like a big Lego set. Now, why I say not all the parts? Because CKD is to encourage local vendors to supply the parts. And also this helps the economy, jobs, yeah, factories and everything else. And the government gives a tax incentive to the car manufacturer who does CKD.
Yeah.
So sometimes the local parts could be plastic components, rubber components, tires, glass, windows, roof lining, leather seats.
These are all the things that Tun Dr. Mahathir was talking about, you know, new national car and providing, yes, new opportunities, right?
Yes, yes, exactly. In fact, we've had factories here for more than 20 years. And then there's a thing called the SKD, semi-knockdown. Now, semi-knockdown, actually, it's a very gray area. I have never been given the full explanation of semi-knockdown. I've never had the opportunity to completely look at semi-knockdown,
yeah,
even though I've been in the motoring line for some time, because they don't really share this information with you. But you do get tax incentives, but the car comes rolled off the ship with some parts missing.
So it will have a full chassis with a suspension and wheels and all that stuff, but no interior.
Maybe no interior, maybe no doors, maybe no bonnet. Non-critical parts in the engine bay is not there. Like, say, a battery, wiper blades, you know, number plate housing.
Are a lot of cars here produced as SKD?
Not a lot, but from what I understand, SKD actually started when certain cars became too complicated. Take, for example, a plug-in hybrid. Plug-in hybrid is a very complicated car in terms of assembly, because you've got the battery, the components, and the wiring loom and everything else. Now, for the general factory for assembly of cars, when they start doing hybrid, you have to change a few things. You have to retrain workforce and everything else. Mm-hmm. Now, if you got capacity, they can go and retrain workers and do extension to the assembly plant. But if you're selling a couple of thousand cars, for example, say a Mercedes-Benz hybrid or BMW hybrid, things like this, you're not going to sell in the thousands. So there's no point investing in a whole retraining program and assembly line. And also sometimes your assembly line could be tight in terms of space to allow this. Because, like, you know, when you do plug-in hybrid, you need a cold room, you know, you need certain areas to be air conditioning, and things like that. So I don't know the total information, but what I do know is the new government has tightened down on SKD. Now, when I did this article, it went two ways. One group of people very angry. Why no more SKD? You know, car prices will go up and everything else. But another group, good, it'll create more jobs. Those who are doing SKD now might be
moving to CKD,
put in more investment. Local vendors earn. I can understand the fact that the government wants local vendors to start, you know, improving and earning more money. And, you know, a lot of them are actually improved in terms of quality and everything else, because they are already exporting parts to neighboring countries. So they can do this. So good news and bad news. But personally, from my point of view, I think the removal of SKD is a good step forward.
And now moving on to the next one of your stories, which is the fourth biggest con job in the auto industry. and you say it's car batteries.
Everybody needs a car battery. We're not talking about plug-in hybrid. We're talking about your normal car.
Just
battery.
Regular batteries that, you know, those rectangular things.
To start off your
things.
Car. Yes. From the dawn of the motoring, you know, the car, you need batteries. Trucks need it. Everybody needs it. Now, in the past couple of years, I've seen a lot of people write to me to complain about certain service centers charging too much for batteries. Say now you buy a car battery from a normal battery wholesaler for, say, 300 ringgit. That same exact battery, if you go to a service center and they charge you 600 ringgit, I'm not going to complain. Because why? The service center has a lot of additional work to do. They have to stockpile the battery. Mm-hmm. They got to think about currency exchange. They got to think about, you know, they can't keep the battery too long because it'll discharge. There's work involved in installing it, transporting it from the wholesaler and everything else. And the business has to make money.
Yeah.
But what has happened is, in the last couple of years, I've seen some service centers put the battery price, a $300 battery price, up to 900 ringgit.
Three times.
Yeah. So this is... Sorry, la, not right. La. And the excuse is always, oh, your car is very, very high tech. There's a special way to install the battery. Now, I've heard of this special way.
Somebody actually told me about that when I got my BMW. They were saying, like, you can't just go to any mechanic to replace your battery because, oh, they need to reset some sort of codes and then they have to unplug things a certain way and put it back together. But I went to the forums and then, no, I mean, you can go anywhere and replace the battery.
You just need someone who knows what to do and the right way. Now, I'll explain the right way.
Yeah.
So say now your car battery indicator comes on. Or this morning when you started your car, it was like, then it started, you know. So you know the battery is about to go. His battery is telling you, please save me. So you immediately drive to the battery shop. Don't switch off your car. Let your car keep running. Call the battery guy. Show him your battery. He says, okay, the battery is, DIN 65 or whatever. He says, okay, I've got a compatible battery, maybe a different brand. Branding is like, you know, buying a ball pen, which brand you like.
Yeah,
or handphone, you know.
Yeah.
The function is still the same. So you pick the battery you want. He comes. Without switching off your car, he removes the leads one by one and reinstalls it on the new battery one by one. So the car never shuts down. The computer system never shuts down. The whole ecosystem of the back end of the car is still running.
So in a sense, it's running on the alternator by itself.
Yes. And then he takes off your old battery, put the new battery in its place, tightens everything up, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
So why do you need to reprogram a car or check? As long as the size is correct, the function and everything else is correct. Now, some service centers will say, oh, you know, because your car is very complicated, you should only use this brand. That's, I think, you know, just to make some money. There's nothing wrong in making money, but you do not overcharge the customer.
I mean, I don't think any service over a regular product is worth three times the price.
Yes.
That is quite a lot.
And now what is troubling me is, and this actually came to me recently, it started with some friends, and then I started advising them to go to my battery wholesaler. But what happened is, your boss contacted me one day and told me that her car battery is having problem. The dealership wanted 900 over ringgit. So she called me and says, Daniel, is this right? 900 over ringgit? I said, no, it's not. Just tell me where you are. You go to this place and they'll take maximum 10 minutes. She said, no, I'm rushing for a meeting. I said, they'll take maximum 10 minutes. And she said, what about reprogramming? You know, the guy told me I said, nothing of that sort. So she drives a very modern car.
Yeah.
Now she went and did what she did. And she only got charged 335 ringgit with installation. Took less than 10 minutes. She called me back. She was so happy. Car is running fine. No warning lights coming on. But here's the best part. The service center calls her up and says, oh, what happened? Why didn't you bring your battery? And she says, oh, you know, I've already got it changed. Oh, where did you do it? Oh, outside. And she said, no, I only paid so much. And the guy got a little bit upset and said, you should bring the car back first to check and make sure that your car is all right and the battery is compatible or not. Now, the guy in the shop that has been selling batteries to me for the last 18 years, he knows what's compatible or not. That's number one. Number two, the service center guy just wants you to come back so he can plug in and tell you, oh, there's something wrong, you've got to change your battery. I'm sure about that. Number three, are you trying to tell me that, you know, unless you're driving something really special, you have to buy a special battery? This is not plug-in batteries. This is your normal battery. So when I did this article, it went viral. You know, 99% of the people told me their bad news story. Some of them even said, you know, they're driving modern cars where the cars are still under warranty. And then when they call the mobile battery service, which charges slightly more than my shop for the same brand battery, and when they went back for their third or fourth service, the service center told them, you've just lost your warranty.
Just like that?
Yes. And on top of that, they used my article to argue back, and they got back their warranty. So I'm not trying to put service centers out of business. Just don't play with customers' ignorance.
Let's move everything back to a reasonable level.
Exactly.
Right. I think we should be talking about some new cars.
Yes, yes, yes.
So the first one, a Honda E. It's a little Nissan Micra-sized thing. It's really cute. Yes, I think
it reminds me of the, you know, the second generation Honda Civic.
Yes,
little hatchback,
yep.
Round lights.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
First generation was too small. Second generation, more like it.
The big thing here is that it's going to be based on Honda's obviously E platform,
right.
And it's going to be rear engine, rear wheel drive. It's cute, contemporary, and has a lot of retro looks. And the best thing is you can option a motor and a battery pack that gives you up to 450 kilometers
right.
of range. But if you move towards France, where Renault has
the new Zoe.
They have just launched the new Zoe. Also comes with a new battery pack, redesign, and 400 kilometers of range. I guess, you know, range anxiety is going to be a thing of the past.
I just want to add this. Honda is new to this game. Renault has been doing it much longer. But where are the batteries coming from? You see, end of the day, all these cars, it still relies on the battery manufacturer
yes.
and provider. So I think Renault, because they've been longer in the game, I'm looking forward to the one from Renault.
A Renault Zoe as well is quite a big step because it comes with a lot of fancy electric car systems that we have in a lot of premium cars today.
Yes.
A 10-inch screen display, a smartphone app that you can unlock and lock your car
right.
with, all safety systems, integrated sensors and automated functions. So this car is going to be launched in 2020-21. It's really pointing towards the future.
Yes.
Another piece of news, actually, is that the Mazda 3 should be coming here in July.
Good news. Good-looking car.
Completely built-up unit. 137,000 ringgit, though. That's pretty sky high.
Yeah, but it's CBU. So as I said, you know, when it's CBU, there's added tax on it. But if Burmas, which
yeah.
is the local Mazda dealer, decides the demand is good enough and they want to go into CKD, if they do that, the price would go down to about 110, 120, 125.
Then it becomes reasonable.
Yes.
Well, this brand new model, we're not going to get the fancy SkyActiv X engine. Instead,
not yet.
We're going to get the SkyActiv G, which is the
yes.
current engines that you get in every Mazda.
Which is nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong about it. Mm. But a little bit of a sidebar here. I just noticed Mazda is going all electric and they should be launching something
yes.
soon.
And I don't know if you remember, about a year ago, they said they'll never go electric.
Exactly.
They said never go electric. Well, there's no choice.
Yeah.
No choice.
I mean, the whole world is moving there, right?
Yes.
Another piece of local news, a Mercedes. There was a big, huge event last week just to give the public a sense of what their new brand EQ is.
Yes.
So they've launched the S560e. It's the replacement model for the old S400
it looks
hybrid.
Nice.
It's about 70 grand more, you say, right?
Yes. Dignified looking, great features, a lot of new accessories, missing some of the older accessories. But 70k more, I don't think it'll matter to the people who buy this car.
Yeah, yeah. I think what matters to them is how much power it has now.
Yes.
473 horsepower with a plug-in hybrid engine, and you get an extra 50 kilometers just on
electric
mode. They also launched the C300e, which basically has an engine from a C200, C250,
correct.
And then they added a big electric motor on it. And the exciting thing, again, 320 horsepower. This is sports saloon territory. That's
yes.
crazy.
But no price.
No price yet.
I think more waiting for the CKD, CBU, SKD confirmation.
Waiting for the new NEP to come
yes.
out. Again, both these models have 50 kilometers of range, a battery pack in the boot,
right.
and you can charge these batteries from 0 to 100% through a wall charger in 6 hours, which is quite impressive,
yes.
I think. That weekend as well, they actually gave us a preview of the Mercedes EQC.
Yes. My staff went.
Yeah.
They came back super impressed. But at the same time, the estimated price, which is 600,000 ringgit, that was a little bit worrying for them. But I said, you know, all these new high-tech electric cars, this kind of pricing, we're not going to run far away from it.
I think 600,000 ringgit, I was just thinking about it. It's a fair price.
It is.
I think, especially
is.
For a statement that it's supposed to bring, right?
Yes.
Anyway, this EQC should launch about mid next year or something like that.
Great.
400 horsepower from two electric motors
right.
and four-wheel drive. And the big thing is that Mercedes will sell you a wall box for 8,000 ringgit that charges your EQC from 10 to 80% in under 40 minutes.
Thank you, Arif, the man with the news, bringing all the latest news from Malaysia and overseas to Cruise Control. BFM 89.9. Stay tuned. Car Review is coming after this. BFM 89.9, this is Cruise Control and you're listening to the only car review and news show, I think, in Asia.
Wow!
And you're listening to Daniel Sherman Fernandez from DSF.my and I'm here with Arif Roos, the man with the news. Say hello, Arif.
Hello, Daniel.
So we test drove the Perdua, Arif.
Yes.
Arif, and you know, we decided, you know, it's time to give Malaysia's fastest growing seven-seater a quick look over.
They recently broke a sales record, didn't they? I think it was like 12,000 units a month, or was it 20,000?
I think it was 12,000. And you know, even if it's 20,000, 12,000, people are just flying to showrooms, flying out with these cars. And I'm thinking to myself, why is there such a big love affair with this car? But then when we took it out for a test drive, I'm not saying it's not a good-looking car, but it looks exactly like the Toyota Rush.
Yeah.
Okay. So why is there a big love affair with this car and not with the Toyota Rush? Because you don't see a lot of the Toyota Rush on the road. But then I realized why. Because there's a $20,000 price difference.
Yeah.
Sorry, 20,000 ringgit price difference. And 20,000 ringgit is a lot of money when you think about it, even though the differences are really small and mostly on the outside. It's just the rims and the badging, and on the inside there's some little features. But the most important thing is Malaysians have a huge trust for the Perdua brand. No one has ever come around complaining that my Perdua is giving me problems. Yes, you know, nothing is perfect, but somehow or other, after sales is good, spare parts are reasonably priced, their cars do hold their value, and you know, Perdua is Perdua.
You can't go wrong with buying a Perdua.
You can go into a rich man's house, you'll see a Perdua there as a fifth car. You go into a poor man's house, it's his first car. It's a car for everybody, you know, and that's what I call the Rakyat car, you know, which is what Proton was many years ago. So when this car came out, of course, its direct rival was the Proton X70.
Yeah.
Even though they're not in the same size or class or anything close to each
other. Just the fact that they were Malaysian.
Exactly.
And SUVs.
Exactly. And, you know, when people used to tell me, should I buy a Proton X70 or this? I said, listen, two different class, two different segments. Why are you comparing? And then I realized it's just that Proton Perdua battle that has been going on for the longest time. It's not about price. It's not about features. It's not about anything else. It's just, should I buy one national car against the other national car? Mm-hmm. But here's the best part. Both are no longer national cars. Proton is owned by Geely.
Yeah.
Perdua is basically a Toyota. But never mind, give all that aside. We took the car out for a test drive. The 1.5 engine to start with, it's not the most spirited of engines when it comes to sitting in a 7-seat vehicle. Of course, I was sitting alone in it. But you can actually feel the engine working a little bit harder because it's the same 1.5 used across the board in Perdua. So you can hear it working a little bit harder when you push it along the highway. But it's not struggling to the point where it's saying, I'm giving up. Now, when you get into the car, don't expect to see an interior that is like a German car. It's still a Perdua. It carries over a lot of the features, touch, feel points that you see in the Myvi and you see in the Alza. Somehow or other, I found this a little bit more appealing than the Myvi.
I think because of the extra space, it feels a bit more open.
Yes.
And there's a lot more places to put many different things, right?
And also because, you know, as we get older, we get into a slightly higher vehicle. Immediately, you feel like you're driving something bigger and better.
That's true.
It's psychological. But honestly, it's not that big a vehicle. If you look at it from the footprint point of view, it's maybe a Myvi that has been stretched and made taller. But it feels bigger, I think, because of the height. Driving it around the city, perfect. Easy to drive, easy to take corners. A turning circle is great. Middle row seat is comfortable. It's not the greatest comfort, but it's comfortable enough. Third row, I could get into it, but I wouldn't want to sit in it for long journeys.
I think when we did the Exora review a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about how the Alza didn't really have enough space. The Exora has a lot of space. So where does this fall in between?
I would say it's got more space in the Alza, definitely.
Yeah.
It's got more space in the Alza. But I think because of the extended wheelbase compared to the Alza, you can actually put much more when you put the seats down, you know, the third row seats down.
Yeah.
But in terms of third row seat comfort, I think this is slightly wider, slightly taller in terms of the third row seat design. The Alza is strictly for small kids, and it's not comfortable for my size and my stomach.
How far would you go with the back seats? Sitting in the back seat of this Aros?
I think inner city driving, no problem. If you're going up to, say, from KL to Klang.
Balik Kampung?
Fine. Depends where your Kampung. My Kampung, PJ, I Balik Kampung, 3 kilometers is okay, you know?
Yeah.
But if you're talking anything more than a 1-hour journey, for me, no. For a child, no problem. For a teenager, no problem.
What about all the amenities? Because recently we've seen a lot of Toyotas really. And in fact, the Myvi come up with a lot of new technologies,
such as
automated emergency braking and all that stuff. So what does this have?
It's got everything that you just mentioned. Plus, it's got a very nice entertainment unit. It's got a digital aircon system. On top of that, it's got all the little toys that Malaysians like. And when I say toys, I'm talking about that, you know, that handbag holder, you know, which Malaysians
little amenities.
Yes. Little tapau hooks. All great little features. You got that touch-and-go card reader. So if you don't have an RFID tag, you can use your touch and go card reader built into the system. It's a nice, practical car. And then it's priced at 77,000 RF. You know, at 77,000 for Malaysians, that is a good price for a 7-seater. So if you're driving, if you're currently driving an Alza, if you want to move up the ladder, this is what I think you look at. If you're driving a Myvi and you need more space, you move up to this. And you're not going to be dented too much in terms of monthly installments. Maintenance is cheap. I mean, it's reasonable. After sales will definitely be good. And of course, resale value. I also want to suggest this. If you're a single guy like you,
yeah.
Okay, say you're not working in BFM, you're doing a small business. Maybe you're doing some bicycle business or something, yeah. Something with a little bit of activity and caring. You buy something like this. You remove the third row seat, completely remove it. You get a wagon. Because you like wagons.
Right? I love wagons.
Yep. You actually get a wagon for 77,000, which you can carry a lot of stuff, plus once in a while, bring your friends along.
You know what? I'm going to try and Photoshop this as a wagon. Right. I think it'll look pretty good.
Yeah. You know, if you actually put bigger wheels on it, lower it a little bit, take away that crossover look,
yeah.
Give it a real wagon look. You can load stuff in it. And then for people who love animals, love to have dogs and everything else, if you want something to carry your dogs and all, just remove the third row seat, put a netting in the back. If you open the rear, it's easy for them to get in and out of the vehicle, and you can carry them.
You're right, because it has a lot of space. It's a car you can beat up.
Yes.
Again, very easy to maintain, and I'm sure you can buy a lot of accessories to stick your bike racks and
easy,
all that stuff on.
Easy, easy.
So, shall we move on to the inspection?
Yes, I think we should.
So, first one, let's just lay down the law. Who are the competitors?
Actually, I think the only competitor that I can really think of is a Nissan Grand Livina.
Mm.
I will not put Proton in it because it's not in the same category at all.
Would you compare it to an Alza as well?
No.
Like if you were in the same market?
No.
Next question, what does this car do better than the competition?
Do better, I think the handling. I'm actually quite impressed with the handling. Of course, you know, when anything is new, they've improved on a lot of things and they've taken the competitors to see where we can do better. So handling is better.
Yeah.
Features-wise better. Safety features also better.
What needs to be improved?
Okay. This is something which I think Perdua really needs to look at. I'm not too happy with the front driver's seat and passenger seat.
Just not comfortable.
Not comfortable enough for me. Maybe because I'm older, my bones are aching and everything else. But I also find the same issue with the Toyota Rush seat. So I think the seat design or the seat padding needs to be improved.
Since you brought up the Toyota Rush, how different is it from the Toyota Rush? Because is it a typical rebadge or is it something else?
I think it's a complete rebadge. And it doesn't work in Toyota's favor because of the price increase.
Yeah.
If the price was very close, I can see a lot of people actually buying the Toyota because the Toyota brand is a bit more powerful. But I can also see a lot of people buying this and putting the Toyota badge on it.
Yeah, I mean, we've already seen a million Myvis with Daihatsu Sirion badges
exactly,
on it, right?
You know?
Okay, I mean, final question. You mentioned Nissan Grand Livina.
Right.
Which do you think suits a family better?
For the moment, I'll say this, because there's a new Grand Livina supposed to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the new Mitsubishi Xpander, which is all in this segment.
Yeah.
When they turn up, Perdua-Arus is going to have some problems. But I think they would have put so many cars on the road, people would just be drawn to it because they see so many on the road. So there you have it, folks. BFM 89.9. This is Cruise Control. First, we had a little story about SKD assembly in Malaysia that has been completely reduced. The reasons, you can download the podcast and listen to it. Then we talked about the battery industry in Malaysia, how people are overcharging consumers for car batteries and why. And then we had some global and local news,
yep.
Some Mercedes-Benz news, some BMW news, and also some Mazda 3 news. And finally, to round up the show, the Perdua-Arus test drive review. This has been, again, like I said, BFM 89.9, the only car review show on the radio in Asia.
We're going to have to fact check that, but see you guys next week.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.